preacher. With my Bible, and I just dropped my head and kept right on walking. So it went and pulled me in it. She cussed me. She said, I ain't talking about that preacher behind you, I'm talking to you. I mean, let me tell you something. Don't be nagging folk. Leave folk alone when don't we bother. Then I want to tell you something about old Margerson. You know why I know I got some moccasins in here? They play dead. Am I happy? There's a whole lot of folk in church play dead. But when you get up close, lying there like he did, won't even move. I was fishing one time and like stepped right on him. Just lying there, won't move. And you think he dead? Uh-huh. There you touch it. Boom! Yeah. There's a lot of folk act dead, not dead. Yeah. You know a whole lot of folk play broke, not broke. Yeah. Everybody not dead that act dead. And there's a whole lot of folk play innocent. A whole lot of folk play like they won't harm you. A whole lot of folk act like they're your friend. But they are not dead. They are not helpless. They are not down as you think. They want sympathy. Ooh, this is so much here. Some folk will get so sympathetic and act like they can't help themselves. And they also all out so sick, can't move. Without you helping me, plain dead. If you don't think they can get along without you, I dare you to die. All right. See if they don't get up and get a job and do for themselves. But all their life can't do nothing for themselves while you there, plain dead, sick and can't make it. But when some folk don't have you to pull on and can't use you and play on sympathy, they get up and do. They're not dead. They're not sick if they pretend they are either.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Amen. In essence, what God was saying, whatever you need me to be, I will be that for you. Anybody in here found out that he will be your all in all? So you don't really know that until you've had some folk to walk out on you, till you've had some folk that you thought were your friends, some folk that you thought really liked you and loved you, amen, to discover that the ones who said they'd have your back, look for them and they're not there. But you can walk in church on Sunday morning with a smile on your face, because you can say that even though family and friends have forsaken me, God still has my back. Come on, if you know he's your everything, come on. God is my all in all. I'm here to tell you, he is my all in all. And what I like about that is that there ain't a place you can go where he ain't there. David said, if I go down into the deep, amen, you are there. If I go up into the heavenly places, you are there. God is my all and all. And that's why I don't worry about nothing. Tell your neighbor, quit worrying so much. This business belongs to God. He will fight your battles. Amen. Last week, before I get into the message, I want to say how proud I am of our young people who went with us, or maybe I went with them, I don't know. But to Dillard University on this past week for the Louisiana Baptist Youth Encampment, our youth director, Sister Landry, myself, and we want to thank our driver, Deacon Smith, amen, who drove the bus for us. Of course, I drove my own vehicle, and Sister Landry slept along the way. She rode with us. Amen. But we had a fine time this past week at Louisiana Baptist Youth Encampment. Our young people are just the best young people you could ask for. Amen. And that's not to say that we don't have little problems along the way, but you know, when you love folk, you're able to look over a lot of stuff. And I love these young people. Amen. As does our youth director, Bruce Smith. I'm going to tell it, Bruce Smith. Can I tell it? He pulled me aside after we were there a little while, I guess about a day. He said, Pastor, he said, I will drive y'all around the world and back. Amen. He said, but please don't ask me to chaperone ever again. Amen. Oh, my. I tell you, it's something else. But we had a wonderful time. And in the Lord, and I would be lying if I told y'all that I wasn't tired, because for a full month now, I mean, we started with our district association in Congress in Lake Charles for a full week, and then after that, we had a full week with our state convention in Shreveport, Louisiana. Then the next week was Baptist Youth Encampment, a full week. And Sister Landry said, don't they pay you for all this stuff? I said, no. I mean, the only pay I get prayerfully is when we get to heaven, amen, we will get a reward. But I do it not for money, because there ain't no money, amen. But we do it because we love God and we love young people, amen. And I love seeing people blessed and enriched by the word of God. Come on and bless God today for his goodness, for his mercy, for his grace. Last week, I preached part one. Thank you, ushers. You can be seated. Thank you. Last week, I preached part one of a series, and you probably haven't even noticed that the last two sermons that I've preached, and this one also, is coming from the same passage of Scripture, dealing with different aspects of that Scripture in Luke chapter 15. Sunday before last, amen, we talked about the brother in us, amen. And I think the sermon before that was about choices and consequences, all from the same passage. Luke chapter 15, as I told you two Sundays ago, is a seminal chapter on the lost. With crystal clarity, Luke 15 shares and shows us the extent to which God goes in order to reclaim and redeem those who are lost. In Luke 15, Jesus tells three parables, three stories about being lost and then being found. Story number one is all about a lost sheep. Story number two, you recall, is about a lost coin. Story number three, about a lost son. Story number one, we told you two Sundays ago, the parable about the lost sheep. The sheep was lost because he nibbled himself away. Some of you will remember that. Amen. In that particular parable, the sheep was paying more attention to the grass than he was to the shepherd. The grass got so good to the sheep, and he had his head so far down in the grass until he hadn't even noticed that the shepherd was taking the other sheep in a different direction. And because he wasn't paying attention to the shepherd, that stray sheep just kept on nibbling and gradually ended up lost. In the second story about the coin, you remember, we told you that the coin was lost, but what was significant about the coin being lost is the fact that the coin was lost in the house. And this particular parable illustrates that it is possible to be lost yet still be in the house. Amen. Don't just assume that just because somebody's in the church or in the pulpit or on the deacon board or in the choir, amen, that they necessarily know Jesus. Because it is possible to be lost while in the house. But this parable also reveals that God is searching for that which is lost in the house. Tell your neighbor, that's good news. And the reason that God is searching is because that is lost, even in the house, it has value. And it needs to be, as we told you two Sundays ago, it needs to be put back in circulation. But then the third parable, the third story, and the one on which we shall focus our sermonic spotlight this morning is the parable about the lost son. So once again, I call your attention to Luke chapter 15. Now, I want you in your private time, due to the length of the text and the limitations on our time, I want you to read, amen, verses 11 through 24 again. But today I want to shine our sermonic spotlight on verse 14. Amen. And I want to read it into your hearing from the King James Version, where it says, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." Amen. 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 All of us long for days without difficulties. All of us pray for periods without pain. We hope for time without trouble and weeks without worry. But the truth of the matter is that usually the easier our lives are, the weaker we become. See, God knows that in order for us to grow, there has to be in our lives a certain amount of resistance. There have to be some trials. Yes, we need, amen, we really do need to have to deal with some tribulations and some trouble, amen, in order to bring out the best in us. Years ago in the northeastern United States, codfish was a big commercial business. There was a market for eastern codfish all over the country, especially on the West Coast because of the large Asian population on the West Coast. The demand, however, presented a problem for the shippers because there was no good way to get the codfish from the East Coast to the West Coast. At first, they got smart and they said, well, we'll freeze this fish. We'll freeze the cod and ship it from the east to the west. But the freezing took most of the good flavor out of the fish. So then they tried something different. They experimented with shipping the fish alive. And some of you perhaps saw this on the news. They put them in tanks of seawater in these large trucks. But that proved even worse because not only was it more expensive, but the fish tended to still lose its flavor. And it also lost its texture. And by the time it got to the West Coast, the skin of the fish had become soft and mushy. But then finally, some creative person solved the problem. They placed the codfish in a tank of salt water along with their natural enemy, the catfish. From the time the cod left the East Coast to the time that it arrived on the West Coast, the cantankerous catfish chased the codfish all over the tank. And you already know what happened. When the cod arrived at the market on the West Coast, they were as fresh as when they were first caught. There was no loss of texture, no loss of flavor. In fact, the fish was better than it had ever been. It was firmer and in better shape than it was, amen, when it was first caught. And I'm preaching to somebody right now because if you could testify, you would say, Pastor, I'm in a tank that is, amen, unique and particular and inescapable to my own circumstance. And Pastor, I got to tell you that in this tank that I find myself in, God has permitted some catfish. And you thought they were there to hurt you, but God brought you here so I could tell you that they are actually helping you to grow. They're helping you to stay alert. They're helping you to stay alive and to stay fresh. You need to know that your stuff would have been stale a long time ago if it hadn't been for the catfish in your life.
Somebody ought to say, thank you for my catfish. Thank you for my circumstances. Thank you for the situations, the events, and people that have kept me tense, kept me anxious, kept me on edge, moving, thinking, and praying. I didn't appreciate it while I was going through it, but now as I look back on it, I can see that God was in it after all. Somebody ought to give him a praise right up in there. Because if it had not been for the trouble in your life, you wouldn't be as strong, you wouldn't be as smart, you wouldn't be as tough as you are right now. You've been trained by experience. You've been tried by adversity. You've been tested by fire. You've been taught by the Holy Ghost. There's a poem, and the poem says this. It says, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser with all she had to say. But then I walked a mile with sorrow. Never a word said she, but all the things I learned when she walked a mile with me. And all I'm trying to suggest is that no one gets out of this life without having some seasons of suffering. Do I have a witness today? No one gets out of this life without having some moments of misery. Nobody gets, I don't care how cute you are. I don't care, amen, what family you're from. I don't care how much money you have in the bank. We all have to deal with periods of pain. Can I get a witness today? All of us will at one time or another struggle with and go through a famine. I hate to be the one to tell you, but there's a famine on your agenda and on your horizon. It may be the threat of illness, or the encroachment of old age, or the slowing of your capacities. But no matter how it manifests itself, each one of us will experience some kind of famine. And most of us have concluded falsely that all famines are negative. But I stop by to remind you, my brothers and sisters, that God is in control of both the famine and favor. Do I have a witness today? I've come by to remind somebody that God is in control of both poverty and plenty. He's the God of our mountains and the God of our valleys. He's the God of our ups and the God of our downs. God is as much in famine as he is in favor. Because even in famine, God is working his divine purposes. Do I have a witness? Tell your neighbor, a famine can be fruitful. Because a famine can bring stuff out of you like nothing else can. Oh, I know I've got some witnesses. Well, that is the testimony of this text. That is the saga of this son. He left home following an illusion. He demanded to receive an inheritance even though his daddy was still alive. He wanted it now. Amen. Would have been his later because he didn't have the discipline to wait. He said, I want it now. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, heaven holds what will be ours later because we're not ready. We're not mature enough to handle some stuff right now. Do I have any witnesses today? Amen. Amen. Though probably wounded by his demand, his daddy gave him his inheritance. His father probably had to liquidate his land and livestock in order to give him one-third of his estate, but he handed it over to him. Because the father understood that nothing he said could have dissuaded this boy from his course. Tell your neighbor, he had to go through what he was going to. And I think that this is a good place to park and say that we need to be careful what we ask for. I said we need to be careful what we ask for. Can I tell you why? Because God knows that sometimes what we asking for, we ain't ready to handle. Amen. But look at this father and look at God, because when we persist and demand, God will at times give it to us. Because sometimes the only way to educate us is to let us go through what we're headed to, because we refuse to learn any other way. So sometimes God will let you have that relationship, knowing that that person is going to break your heart. Sometimes God will let you get that house, even though he knows you don't have the financial discipline to keep it. Sometimes God will let you get that job, knowing full well that you don't have the work ethic to hold on to that job. And he will do that from time to time in order to teach us how to trust and wait on his timing. Thank you, choir. He may not come when you want him. Because God knows that nothing grows us like pain. And do you know that it's not just the prodigal son? Can I testify? There have been times in my life where God has loved me enough to let me fail and fall. There have been times in my past where I wasn't ready for what I asked God for, but because I wasn't willing to wait, God let me have it. And I had to learn the hard way that everything that glitters ain't gold. I had to learn the hard way that everything shining ain't silver. Is there anybody else who had to learn the hard way that everybody smiling in your face ain't your friend? Is there anybody that had to learn that everything that feels good to you ain't necessarily good for you? The son in this saga, he left home and headed for a place that the Bible describes only as a far country. And as long as the money was flowing, you know the story, he was all right. But when the money was depleted, his friends disappeared. And that's where I've been trying to get to, that when the famine arose, trouble took him someplace. When the famine arose, the famine did him a favor because it focused him, and that would not have happened otherwise. Tell your neighbor, a famine arose. What did the famine do for this prodigal son? And more specifically, what do famines do for us? Y'all asking some good questions. Yeah. Amen. Number one, the famine showed him the reality of consequences. See, up until then, and I want you to hear me, young folk, if you're sitting by a young person and they're asleep, nudge them right now. Because up until then, he was living today like there was no tomorrow. Up until then, he sowed to the wind and didn't realize he'd have to reap a whirlwind. But when the famine hit, he learned that there are consequences for each of our choices. You see, unrestrained, he indulged himself in every kind of sensual escapade. He lived extravagantly, recklessly, with no thought for the future. Sometimes when we walk away from God, he lets us walk away. He says, fine, go for it. I'm going to let you reject my love so that one day you will realize how much you need my love. I'm going to let you reject my grace, and one day you'll recognize how much you need my grace. Because as you've heard me say before many times, we don't realize that we need, that God is all we need until God is all that we have. Is there anybody in here who woke up one morning to that realization, amen, that you need God and that God will be there for you, that God will be a friend when friends walk out on you, that God will be a mother when you're motherless, he'll be a father when you're fatherless? Is there anybody here glad to know God? Amen. So there he was, like some of y'all, he was all up in the club, turned up. Turned out, and he thought to himself, this is the life I always wanted. But my brothers and sisters, those choices had consequences. When he depleted his assets and mismanaged his blessings, he became comfortable in a context that was beneath his calling. And God sent me here to preach to someone who's become comfortable in a context that is beneath your calling. He sent me here to preach to you and to tell you that you're too gifted to be living like you're living. He sent me here to tell some young person that you're too blessed to be doing what you're doing. He sent me here to tell somebody that you're too anointed to be that angry. You're too powerful to be that pitiful. You're too mighty to be that mean. And what you need to do is what Vicky Winans said. You need to shake yourself loose. Is there anybody here today who realizes that God made you for greater than what you're experiencing right now? Is there anybody here who believes by faith that God has more in store for you than where you are right now? That he's created you for greatness, that he's created you for abundance, that he's created you for favor, that he's created you to have victory. And where are my folk who walk by faith and not by sight? Oh, but when the famine hit, when he dipped into his pocket, Braganus, and realized that he didn't have enough to pay the bill, when his credit cards were maxed out, the bank account was in overdraft, when he had squandered his inheritance, the King James Version says, when he had spent all, when he was bankrupt. He was bankrupt financially. He was bankrupt mentally. He was bankrupt emotionally. He was bankrupt spiritually. The Bible testifies that then he began to be in want. Right there is when the famine hit. Now note that he didn't start out in want, but he began to be in want. And I wonder this morning, is there anybody here who has ever met and shaken hands with consequences? I don't know about you, but I know him well. Life is filled with choices, but those choices come with consequences. The prodigal discovered to his dismay that the life that he had chosen was not as fulfilling as he thought it would be. It was not as desirable as he thought it would be. And somebody here knows that after you've seen one stripper, and after you've seen five strippers, they all start looking the same. Well, you want to act sanctimonious on me, but can I find your robe? Somebody knows that after you've been high one time, that after you've been high 10 times, that after you've been high 15 times, you start needing something else. You start needing something stronger to get high the next time. I didn't find your role yet. Somebody knows that after you've been drunk one time, that after you've been drunk five times, that after you've been drunk 10 times, it all starts feeling the same. I didn't find your role yet. Somebody knows that after you've hit the jackpot one time, after you've hit the jackpot 10 times, after you've hit the jackpot 15 times, it all starts feeling the same. Y'all gonna make me find your role. What I would advise you to do is go on and get on your feet and testify with the other folk. Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? I said, ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? And I love my God, because what happens at the end of the story is that boy comes to himself and he says, I'm going home. I'm going home to my daddy. And that father represents God. And somebody ought to be thankful that God is not just a God of a second chance. But is there anybody here who knows that he's the God of another chance? I've been there too many times to just say a second chance. I've had to go over and over again. But what I love about my God is that every time I run to him, he don't turn his back on me, but I find him standing there. He was looking for me all the time, and he stretches out his arms and says, child, come on home. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? If you love him, give him praise. If you thank him, give him praise. If he's been good to you, tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you.
tell him thank you.